All right. Well, I'm Rich Gertis. I'm the Assistant Regional Census Manager of the Kansas City Regional Office. That we basically handle the states of Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. And I want to thank y'all for coming out this morning in this cold morning here. 10 below zero, I understand, so a very chilly day. And so thank you all for coming out. We really appreciate the opportunity to get the word that we're kind of on the home stretch now for the census. And at this point, we are wanting to educate everybody that doesn't know about what the census does and so forth. And secondly, we want to talk a little bit about the jobs and some of the positions that we will have available here real soon. So before we go too deep, I want to introduce a few folks that are here. Special guest, Mr. Robert Hamill, who's representing Senator Harkin's office, and then also Jackie Santana, who is the executive director of the HOLO Center. OLA Center here in Des Moines, and they have been a great partner with us this past year, and we hope to continue to keep that great relationship that we've had going on. Without further ado, I want to introduce our first speaker, the mayor of Des Moines, Mr. Frank Connie. Thank you, sir.
Glad to see such good turnout here on such a cold morning, but it's such an important day as we kick off the 2010 census. One of the things that happens with the census, it's all attached to funding. And we need an accurate count in the city of Des Moines. We want all citizens counted. And I know that there is some reluctance on the part of some folks to, they think it has to do with taxes or it has to do with a number of other things, but it really has to do with a proper count and getting the proper funds to the places where they're needed across this country and around this nation, and specifically in the city of Des Moines. Give you an idea, some of the programs. There's Ag Department dollars that count on census numbers. Which is child and adult care food programs, national school lunch programs, all kinds of things like that that come through the Ag Department. There's the Education Department, obviously adult education, the Eisenhower Professional Program, state grants, innovative education program strategies, and many, many others that come through that program. Health and Human Services, there's block grants, and which help us with substance abuse programs. There's foster care, there's Head Start. There's all kinds of programs that come out of that department. Additionally, there are that come from Health and Human Service, social service block grants, special programs for the aging, state children's health insurance programs. There's temporary assistance for needy families. Through HUD, there's community development block grants, and these are so important to us, and our congressman has been so helpful to keep funding coming through those types of programs. The Justice Department, those burn formula grants also depend on census numbers. Labor Department, Employment Services, Unemployment Insurance Programs, many, many programs in that department. And then, of course, there's the department, the Labor Department, Federal Transit, Urbanized Area Formula Grants, and there's Highway Planning and Construction Grants as well. So keep in mind, these all depend on numbers. There are over 100 programs that are federally funded that come through these programs. Now, specifically here in Des Moines, the Des Moines Census Office is beginning to hire for the 2010 census. The Des Moines office will hire almost 1,000 people to work on this census. The jobs are going to pay between $9 and $15.25. And if you'll allow me to, I'm going to give you a number. You call 1-866-861-2010 if you're interested in getting a job to help us with a census here in Des Moines. Important keys to our census. We want everybody to be counted. There's Be Counted sites. There's questionnaire assistance centers. The Be Counted sites are going to be places around the city, like grocery stores. I understand that Hy-Vee is going to be one of our helpers there. So if somebody needs to get assistance, you don't quite understand the filling out of the questionnaire, It is a very simple form, I understand, this year. But if you're having any problems with it, either translation or otherwise, go to these centers and you're going to get some assistance. And sometimes you don't get the questionnaire or it gets misplaced. You can get a replacement by going to the Be Counted sites. Now, there's also a questionnaire assistance center, and these are staffed by trained census employees to provide assistance to individuals who want to help in filling out their census questionnaire. So I want to thank the people that are here from the census. I want to encourage everybody across Iowa and certainly in the Des Moines area to participate in the census, fill out your questionnaires, and let's get everyone counted, young, old, north side, south side, east side, west side, everybody needs to be counted. So thank you, and I'm glad to be helping kick off this event. And I will bring up my congressman, Congressman Leonard Boswell.
My mayor. Well, thank you to my mayor. I would just try to emphasize some of the things the mayor just said, that not repeat everything, but it's an extremely important thing. It really is. You know, it's been going on for a long time. 220 years we've been doing this. The first Secretary of State that started this back in 1790 was Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson. So it's just something we've been doing. And it's I want to emphasize the importance. It's incredibly important. It affects every important decision that's made in government, including the distribution of federal funds, which the mayor just went through the long list, and it has extremely important matters for us. The allocation of social services and grant programs and planning for health care, hospitals, job training centers and schools and so on. So it's been around a while and it's important we do it. And so I'm counting on, thank you to the media for being here today to share this, because we're counting on you to do a lot in the information that it's people don't get misinformation and think that this is somebody prying into their lives. That's not the case. And I think that our chief of accounting here will tell us that this is all confidential information. And so you don't have to worry about that. It's been going on for a long time. So it's important we have an accurate report, an accurate count. And it not only affects the capital city of Des Moines, but every other community in our entire state. And so it's really part of representation that we want our count, we want our fair share of. And we only get that if we respond and fill out the forms and send them in. And I just want to give you my assurance that this is confidential. It's not going to be passed around for other purposes. And you can count on that. So I would encourage you to participate. And I'm glad to see that Senator Harkin is here in extension and have you both here, and it's good to realize that we've got an important thing before us. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to the chief of the count here and the mayor, and let's participate. This is important.
Definitely not the chief of the count by any means. Thank you, though. I want to introduce a couple of our partners that we, you know, one thing that we have to do is we have 56 partnership specialists across these six states. And so if you think about that, it's really tough to be everywhere and talk to everybody. But what we have really done this time is really stress the importance of working with partner organizations. And today, two people that are here that have really been a big influence on getting the word out is, first of all, Cindy Chin. Cindy's our division administrator of the status of Iowans and of Asian and Pacific Islander heritage. And Cindy, come on up and speak a little bit about what we do for you guys, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Like Rich mentioned, I'm the administrator for Commission on the Status of Iowans of Asian and Pacific Islander Heritage. It's a pretty, like a tongue twister. Actually, we have to contribute to the establishment of my office. The commission has to contribute to census data. Back to 1990s and the beginning of 2000, Asian community leaders got together at a regular basis, talk about we needed to form a commission. But certainly legislators ask why. Guess where we got our data to back us up? We went to Census 2000's data to find information to back us up. Compare with what happened since 1970s, 80s, 90s, then 2000. We find out the API community, the population in state of Iowa, not only in the United States, in state of Iowa, is one of emerging populations. And they have different needs. When I first time saw the data, I was shocked. Because people think, well, Asian and Pacific Islanders, they are smart, they work hard, those are true. They don't have needs, they are doing well. In fact, do you know one out of seven Asians in Iowa lives in poverty? Do you know one out of five Pacific Islanders lives in poverty, just in the state of Iowa? That's what we find out. And also the API populations, the home ownership rate is less than 50% versus the whole Iowa is 78-80%. So we know they have needs. And take a look, is Iowans really opened their hearts and arms since the 1970s to welcome refugees from Southeastern Asia and other regions of the world. And refugee population, they need help. So we are one of the earliest, probably one of the earliest partners signed up as a Census 2010 partners for this effort. We want accurate count. We want to know not only by API as a whole, we would like to have subgroups, sub-ethnic groups, especially refugee populations count as well, so we can better serve them. And for me, one person in lives in poverty is our responsibility to help them out. So I'm looking forward to work with the Census 2010 closely. Thank you.
And the last speaker we have is Joyce Bruce. Joyce is with the Zeta Phi Beta sorority here in Iowa. You're the vice president of the state chapter, is that correct?
Correct.
Very good, thank you.
I want to say greetings to the U.S. Senator's office and the U.S. Congressman's office, to our state, county, and local representatives. I also want to give a greetings to Kelly Campbell, the Des Moines local census office manager, other partnerships, and to our coordinating guest, the Kansas City Census Center, because we are very pleased that we are having this opportunity to speak out and provide our services to the 2010 census report, especially when we look at the result of the 2000 report, where it states that the African Americans in Des Moines, Iowa are disproportionately represented in terms of their services that they are receiving. If we would look at the report, you can find out that there is 34.8% of African Americans in Des Moines, Iowa, who are living in poverty. And out of this number, it is due to the fact that a majority of them do not have a high school education, nor are they employed. This is why we are reaching out through the 2010 census to support them, because of the fact that we must make sure that African Americans are represented so that we can receive the necessary services here in our state that will give them the support so that they can have services that will be sustaining to their families. So I am asking everyone to please help us in this endeavor. Make sure that the African Americans are aware of the fact that all of their report will be kept confidential, because as you know, yes, we do not respond to questions, and especially when they're asked of us in a very, from a very diverse population. We also need to encourage the African Americans to fill out those forms and return them, because of the fact that, number one, they are confidential, they are significant, and they are significant in the fact that the services that we receive through state and federal and local funding are extremely necessary if we're going to improve our health services and our social services in this area. Thank you.
thank you all. I appreciate the glowing remarks from us.
Just wanted to kind of go over a few things before we open it up to questions then. As we have mentioned that this is the shortest census we'll ever have because in the past we've always had the long form, the 10-year census. That has been morphed into another survey called the American Community Survey, which is done by our survey division of the census. That survey still goes on and still continues, but it really should be a simple thing for people. When we come to the door, it's basically 10 questions, and it takes about 10 minutes. And, you know, if they fill it out before that also, we don't come to the door. So that's why we really encourage people to, when they get the thing mailed, please fill it out, send it back in, and you don't have anybody come to the door. You know, Mr. Mayor and also the Congressman talked very strongly about the federal funding and what comes about with the federal funding. There is $400 billion of federal funding each year is based on what the census comes out with. So the numbers that as far as what's spent is based directly on the numbers we get from the decennial census. And so those numbers are greatly important. Also the representation here in many states. You know, as you know, every 10 years they redivide the seats in Congress based on what the count is across the nation. And so, you know, it's very important we get the power and also the money for the states. And, you know, last but not least, you kind of heard what some of the local partners are using it for. A lot of times it's just to justify whether or not they can get funding for projects that they have. You know, like Ms. Chen mentioned that, you know, because of the census, they could justify some of the things. One out of seven Asians are in poverty. One out of five Pacific Islanders are in poverty. So without the census, they wouldn't be able to get those type of numbers. We are going on to a very, very important phase of our job now, and that's hiring people. And we will be hiring, like the mayor said, 1,000 people in the Des Moines area. Also, if you consider Ames in that area, there's another 1,000 folks that'll be in the Ames office also. So we will be hiring a lot of people. It's very simple to apply. There's the number, the 866-861-2010, or they can go out to the internet site, which is www.2010censusjobs.gov, and apply for or get information to apply for those positions. Basically, there's a short test where we just make sure that they have the capabilities to, you know, read and add and subtract and that sort of deal. Once they are hired, there is a quick background check that goes through, and we just make sure that we're not sending people out to people's homes that shouldn't be out there. And the jobs vary in length, anywhere from, you know, a month long on some of the data collectors, and some of them start, actually, like Kelly's office has been in operation for almost 2 years now. So it will be, depending on the job that they get in, you know, depending on the salary and that sort of deal also. So with that, I'm going to open it up for any questions. And I do want to introduce, before we get too far, there's three people that came in. Ted Tran is the congressman's aide here. We also have, I got your name, it's Saita Glayton. She's the representative of the governor and the lieutenant governor's office. And then also Beth Henning, who is the state data center head. And the state data center here in Iowa, and really all the states, is really one of our biggest partners we have. They are very strong help, you know, getting the word out for the census, not just during the census years, but all 10 years. So thank you for being here, Beth. So, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
How many folks do you expect to hire statewide?
Sure.
Outside.
Sure. It'll be around 5,000 people.
And with that salary range that the mayor talks about?
Yes. Yes.
$9 to $15 an hour?
Yes.
In regards to this map, which shows areas of the state which
right.
have lower participation rates, do you have special programs
yeah.
at Southern Iowa and Northeast Iowa?
Yes, we do. You know, Iowa, we're blessed with really high response as far as mailbacks. I think Iowa and Minnesota are if not exactly the same, you know, they're real close, one and two as far as response. But yes, we do, we'll have things depending on what the area is. If it's a high Hispanic population in that area, we have been working with the Hispanics. If there's a high, you know, lakefront properties or such like that, and I'm not exactly sure on those, you know, we work with that type of population also. We also hire probably more people in those areas to make sure that we get the response up. But as you see there, those are green, and green means they're not terribly bad as far as response then.
Yes, sir. Hispanic. When you go into the Latino Hispanic areas, I would guess that some of these people are afraid that you're going to be immigration.
Yes, sir.
People. Is that a concern that some of these people will think that you're immigration people and that if they acknowledge who they are, that they're going to be deported?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, not just with the Hispanic population. That's really pretty any foreign-born population. We have concerns with that. We've worked with our partnership specialists. As I mentioned, we've been out for about a year now working in those communities. We also have worked strongly with the faith-based organizations, and that's been really strong with the Hispanic populations, going to the Catholic Church and going to some of the other churches in the area to tell them, hey, it is safe that they do respond.
And what are you telling them? What kind of assurances are you giving them?
Well, we talked about Title 13 in the U.S. the U.S. Code as far as what we can and can't do. The data that we do have is only used for aggregate form as far as, you know, statistics at the local level. We never release any information on a particular person. We have been sued several times by different organizations, FBI, the I know the FBI, IRS was another one that we went to the Supreme Court and won those cases, and Title 13 stood up, that we do not turn data over to any other government agency or anything like that.
And just to clarify, if someone is here and they are undocumented, they will still be counted?
Yes, they are. And that's, you know, some people are thinking that's different, but that's the way it's been since 1790 when we first started doing the census. We've always just... Who's at the country on April 1st is really what we're looking for.
To be clear.
Yes, sir.
The outreach to the Hispanic Latino community has been impressive. I publish a statewide English language paper targeting the Latino community and also a Spanish language paper statewide, and the outreach has been impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Contrasted, however, the outreach statewide to the African-American community has been almost non-existent in a community that has historically been undercounted.
Mm-hmm.
What strategies will you utilize to ensure that undercount doesn't continue, particularly since last time we only got about 6 out of every 10 African-Americans that lived in Iowa?
We do a couple things with basically any population, but we do... we've included, groups like Zeta Phi Beta. I'm sorry, is that right? That, you know, groups like that, they have been out giving the word. We've included a lot of Black organizations within our complete count committees.
Is that statewide or primarily like in Des Moines? Because in a lot of the communities where we have African Americans that have migrated here,
mm-hmm.
there just is a non-existent presence.
Right. There too, we're definitely getting the word out using faith-based, using our community organizations. Our specialists are out there; they know the areas, and they're trying to get out there to them. And one other thing that we'll start on the 14th of January, national media will start doing advertisements and such that will be on all the big networks. And then also on some local networks also, or local media outlets will be start showing census ads and so forth also.
Last question. Why is there such a disparity? One of the advantages I have in publishing a Latino publication
mm-hmm.
is I've had a chance to see the commitment the census has had to reaching out. We're talking about the willingness to invest huge resources to reach out to the Latino community, but not anywhere close to that commitment to the African-American community. In fact, I sent some census officials copies of the commitment to reach out to Latinos contrasted to the complete lack of commitment to African Americans. So why is there such a resource investment disparity between those two communities?
Mm-hmm. Couple things, probably, you know, the language, with it being Spanish speaking, we do have materials that are based for Spanish speaking. A lot of the materials that we have for the African Americans are, you know, in English, so you don't see the
English language
stuff.
Latino
community. Okay, I'd have to actually see what you have there before I could really comment on it and be, you know, make an educated answer on that.
So every single adult island is going to be getting one of these in the mail.
They should.
Every family.
They should. What happens is,
what happens, and
right,
if they don't fill it out, they'll be getting a visit.
Very, very good question. On the around the 15th of March, each household that we have with an address will get a questionnaire. Okay, if someone has a PO box only, they will not receive a questionnaire. What we would ask them to do is go to our Be Counted sites or our QACs or Quality Assistance Centers that the mayor spoke of, and they will be spread out across the state. And so at that point, they can just get the questionnaire from them and fill it out there. I think for the most part, really, Iowa, we don't see a whole lot of just PO box areas. There's some towns in like Oklahoma and Kansas that are just strictly have PO boxes, and so we have to fight with that a little bit. But we do know about those towns, and in those areas, we are hand-delivering questionnaires to those cities also.
So if they don't fill this out, then can we say, might as well fill this out, because somebody's going to be knocking on your
door. Absolutely, because on May 1st, we will start doing the door-to-door data collection.
So if you don't fill it out,
yes, yes. Actually, they'll get two questionnaires, one around the 15th of March, I'm sorry, and then another one toward the middle of April, and then March or May 1st, we'll start knocking on doors. And that's where a lot of the people will be hired, will start going to work then.
So when you say two forms, is that the same form?
Absolutely the same form, yes. It's just a reminder form that comes later on then.
Okay, but the first one comes in mid-March and the second one in mid-April.
Yeah.
April.
Yes.
The mayor mentioned that there are sort of help centers and IVs in the Des Moines area. Is that
right?
Yes,
Hy-Vee has been one of our national partners, and last week they came out and said that they would be willing to put Be Counted in QAC sites, in each of their stores, and that's nationwide. So Illinois, Kansas, Missouri, so on, they'll be taking part in that.
Is that staffed by their own employees or staffed by your
employees? QAC sites are staffed by census employees. This will be the first time we've ever done that. Where in the past we've always had volunteers come in and help answer questions. In some situations, people weren't coming to the sites and people weren't getting questions answered. So we just felt it was necessary that we would hire census employees, U.S. government employees, that would go and work those sites. About 15 hours a week is what we'll have, and that will start March this. About March the 15th and ends April the 19th. Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
I saw a census estimate right before Christmas that showed Iowa finally broke 3 million people. Can you talk a little bit about how that estimate will compare with the real numbers we'll see this spring and whether you think that number will hold?
Right, it should be pretty close. What we do as far as with the projected populations, we basically take the census, census 2000 in this case would have been the basis for it. And then we look at, different indicators such as, housing growth. We look at live births, that sort of thing. And it all gets added up into an equation. And then we change the count each year. And in some areas, actually, we've done special censuses where we've actually went out and redid the census in a particular city or so forth. But that's pretty much the methodology on it. We think it'll be pretty close. But, with the census 2010, it will also be that's kind of our basis again, and that's how we're gonna, that'll be the jumping off point for the next 10 years. Then,
just to clarify something,
sure.
You mentioned Minnesota and Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two highest response states in the nation.
Well, not response rates. They're the highest return rates as far as mailback questionnaires.
Okay. Well, and Neil back. Right?
Yeah.
How about what are the highest stakes in terms of actual, you feel like you're getting everybody counted?
Well, we feel like we're getting everybody counted every state because we're going to do a lot of different things. It's just some states we start, you know, we start at 55% instead of 65-70% like we do here.
Okay. But Iowa and Minnesota are...
They are number one. I think they're tied for number one for Census 2000. So they were 60, maybe my specialist knows, 67%. Was that sound right? Which is astronomical compared to some of the other states.
What are some of the other states?
You know, you could get, that's a tough question for me. I'm not exactly sure. I know we have lower response in, let's say, states like Arkansas that we work with. We also have lower response in Oklahoma. And some of that, though, has to do with where houses are. Oklahoma has a lot of lake houses, which, you know, they tend to be, we don't get response on those. But yeah, Iowa and Minnesota, are, you know, you guys are very civic conscious and do a good job of returning your questionnaires. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
If you could sort of clarify this count, and when you send them out and you're getting it by address on a household,
mm-hmm.
and it's my understanding not only in Iowa but in other places, some of the undercount occurs. If you don't get anything back from somebody, then you just apply some basic, from knowledge of the past, numbers to a specific address,
yeah.
And which would be what, 1.6 to 2, or I mean, whatever the number is,
yeah.
For a household. And one of the problems that we find is sometimes there's 4 to 6 to 8 to 10 people living in there that
mm-hmm.
aren't counted at all, and you've applied some other number
yes.
to it to try to, on average,
yeah.
Be there, and,
right.
and especially in urban areas, that is more true, it's my understanding, than in other areas around the country
mm-hmm.
Where people would legitimately fill them out, and
right.
for whatever reason they won't do it. So you apply numbers that really are not reflective of some of the populations that are existing in those. Could you kind of clarify
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah, anytime you do a census, you have to account for every household or every, you know, individual in the census. And so what he's talking about there is imputed data, and that imputed data basically occurs at the very last phase of it. You know, we're going to go knock on doors, we're going to go there's a lot of steps before we get to imputed data. But you're absolutely correct that, you know, if we don't get you, if you refuse us, you know, if you don't send the questionnaire in, you refuse us when we come to your door, there's a chance that yeah, we would have a you know, the imputed data comes up, and yes, there would be chances of being undercounted. Statistically, it's probably reliable because you also get, you know, 1.6 or whatever we calculate the imputed data as. But if it's a single person in a household, you know, then we're overcounting that particular household. But yeah, you're correct. There's definitely a chance of having imputed data, and that's why we really don't want the imputed data. If we're up at around 70% as far as the data or the people sending their questionnaires in, and then, you know, we really expect to try to get those last 30% by knocking on doors, by having the QAC sites, by having the B-counted sites. We feel we're going to be, you know, very close to where we need to be on that then. But good question. Yes, sir.
Is there any penalty if someone does not wish to cooperate?
There is. Legally, yes, there is a fine and so forth that comes along with it. We have never imposed that fine, though, and that's basically something that if the Department of Justice would want to, you know, go, if they would like to pursue it, then that's their call. We are strictly a data collection agency. We are not by any means a, you know, law enforcement or any kind of code enforcement or anything like
that. So has the Justice Department ever?
I believe it's never been pursued. Be honest with you.
There's been a call nationally by various Latino groups for a boycott. Are you hearing anything about that taking place in Iowa, or any groups encouraging it in Iowa?
No, really, the middle part of the country, we have not seen any of that. It tends to be more on the coast that they're a little more vocal on that. We've gotten really great support from both, you know, the Hispanic population and the folks, you know, the groups that are representing all the Hispanic population here. So we really have not seen the ICE boycotts and such that they are seeing maybe on the coast then.
The impact of the census covers a wide range from political apportionment to funding for schools, child care. The undercount in Iowa has historically been very high for African Americans. Do you have a figure of what you anticipate the undercount being, and also the economic impact both to Iowa and the general population for that undercount, particularly considering where African Americans impact fiscal concerns for governance in Iowa, whether it's the criminal justice system, education, health and human service areas? The undercount's been pretty devastating historically. What percentage do you anticipate the undercount, and what's the economic impact?
Well, I'll be honest with you, we never really get into that game with where we're trying to, you know, estimate what the undercount is, or we never really try to look at the economic impact of it. Now, there is groups like the State Data Center that do calculate that for the population. You know, our in theory, we feel we count everybody, and we do know that we don't.
But we know that that's not the case.
I understand what you're saying, but we just try to stay out of the estimation of undercount and also, you know, how that affects the funding.
So if you don't look at those things, then how do you develop strategies to compensate?
Well, we by using our folks with State Data Center and such, that they're looking at it, and then we're actually starting to plan for Census 2020, you know, as we speak now, and looking where, you know, how do we get to these populations that we're, you know, that we're undercounting all the time. So it's an ongoing process that we're working with that, but we don't put out data as far as you know, what the undercount is or what the loss of funding is.
So do you have a plan that, like, for example, we could look at the plan and say, oh, this is your strategy for actually impacting this undercount of population? Is there, like, a document? Is there a strategy? Is there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's strategies.
So where can we get a copy of that?
I'll tell you what, if you come back to me on that a little later, I could probably get you a document on it. I'm guessing it's probably out on the internet. If you went to census.gov and asked, you know, put in there about undercounts. Or,
I mean, in Iowa.
Oh, in Iowa?
The undercount last time in Iowa was 9 times. So is there, like, a specific plan or strategy to address the undercount? Because that's a huge amount of resources it's going to cost.
Sure.
This particular population.
We do have internal... we have internal documents that we're talking about strategies. We do daily strategy meetings with our partnership specialists. You know, where we need to focus our attention. So it's an ongoing thing. Now, there really isn't anything that I can release to you on Iowa that says we're going to do this, and this with the African American community. But it's you know what it takes is this is an ongoing strategy. You know, if we feel or if a group feels that they're not being represented, we're more than happy to change our strategy and say, okay, we're going to focus more on that particular population. And so, you know, we're always looking to get into those areas also. Did I answer your question?
No.
No? Okay.
Not really. Other than that, it sounds like you don't really have an Iowa-based plan.
Well, we do have an Iowa-based plan, but it's an ongoing thing.